Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. We are so happy you're joining us. And by we, I mean myself, Steve Kramer, and Dr. Dorothy Riddle, who is joining me for our show. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here.
Always good to be with you in space-time, right?
Right.
Well, I don't know about space, right? But at least cyberspace and time, which is lovely. So, listeners, we're talking about non-linearity this whole month. Actually, this whole season of Spirit Fire Radio is about universal principles and ways in which we can leverage them when we learn about these principles and we dive deep into them, when we figure out the ways in which they apply to our lives or the ways in which maybe we're not applying them to our lives, we really can just live our life, be more productive, live it like with ease, you know, and actually we'd love always to say in a way that is harmless, whether it's conscious or not, in a way that promotes creativity and just generates goodness for us all. So this idea, thus far this season, we've talked about this idea of interconnectedness. We are all intrinsically interconnected and that we participate in creating our own reality. And this month, it's the theme is that reality is not linear, you know. B will not always follow A, and C will not always follow B. That really, life, the universe, the way in which we perceive and create our own reality is actually quite, it's always in flux, right, Dorothy?
Right, exactly.
So I'm wondering, Dorothy, are there any, we had a really interesting show last week. I wondered if there were any points that came to the forefront for you just to sort of maybe recap just a little bit.
Well, I think what I'd like to pick up on is what we were talking about just at the end of that show about how being critical or judgmental creates it makes things static, right?
Yeah.
It's like it creates an edge that is not necessary. And it takes away from the sense of flow and abundance that is what our reality is actually all about.
Right, because when we have an edge, we usually we have two choices. We either fall off it or don't fall off it.
Right.
You know, when we've got an edge, we've then got a gap. Yeah, and we were also kind of talking a bit about how time is abundant. And I really loved that, and I think it will be wonderful to go a bit deeper into that because we think of time as being totally linear, that, you know, every hour is the same in that it holds 60 minutes. And we talked a lot in last week's show that, yes, indeed, there are 60 minutes to an hour, and actually that's not even true, but it serves as a marker to say, well, what we get to, as the observer, look at that 60 minutes. And it can influence us, you know. We realize that the choices we made in that last 60 minutes created our new now. So we get to look at it as a marker, but it doesn't actually exist in a way that says here's the beginning and here's the end. That it's a construct that we created, but that time is totally abundant is just a wonderful concept. That there's a lot of it. And Dorothy, I mean, abundance is a really key theme to your work, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the fact that when we approach things from a scarcity mentality, which is part of what linearity drives us towards, or the myth of linearity, that then we cut ourselves off from what our actual experience is.
Yeah, yeah. And I love Esther Hicks. You know, she's always saying, you know, it's not going to get done. Like, don't worry about it getting done, because it's never going to get done, because what you set out to do is going to be ever new in the moment. So if you've got this idea, this expectation, you know, expectations sometimes are just as dangerous as criticisms, one being forward and one being backward. It's where they pull us from living in the moment and from experiencing abundance by limiting the options. You know, if it's linear, if one is followed by two and three, if two is followed by one and three is followed by two, there's only one option there. And what one thing that's very interesting, I've got a whole this basically picture book by Stephen Hawking that says, it's called The Universe in a Nutshell. Oh my goodness, you could spend a lifetime reading this. But one fascinating concept is he talks about history in real time and history in imaginary time. And there's this mathematical concept, which I wish they wouldn't have called imaginary time, but that's the name they gave it. But it's quite real, and it's been sort of it's been proven mathematically, these results of combining imaginary time and real time. So Dorothy, just bear with me and cut me off if I'm sounding nonsensical. But real time says we start at zero and we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we can look back at -1, -2, -3 as the past. The present will always be zero. And we move our timeline across this horizontal plane. But there's also this thing called imaginary time. And it is built with imaginary numbers that correspond in the same way to these real time numbers. So there's a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 4. And that extends upward vertically and downward. -1, -2. What it does is it creates this relationship. If you turn it to 3D, what happens is it actually creates a sphere. And it shows that there are multitudes of possibilities of what will happen in time. It gives time a shape. And I was saying on the last show that he talks about, we were talking about time being subjective, that it is from our own perspective. But if our perspective is the same as another person, time appears the same. Just like two objects standing still, time will actually be the same. But if you move people in opposite directions around the Earth on a plane, time would actually be different for them. Much like the Planet of the Apes, where they fly out and come back and the Earth has been completely changed, but they have just lived 20 years or so. But this idea that if you're on the surface of the Earth, you'll never find an edge, like you can't find the end of the Earth. So it's just interesting to me, this idea that at one point we thought the Earth was flat and you would move forward and you could fall off the edge. It was very limiting. It was very deterministic. And we've come to realize that actually the Earth is a sphere. There is no edge. You'll never fall off. So it speaks of abundance, that you can constantly be moving around its surface all the time and it will be ever new, right? You'll never get to the end and fall off and there's the end of it. So it's a bit like our lives. And what Stephen Hawking has shown is actually it is time holds the same shape, that it is full of potential and there is an abundance of the ways in which we can experience it. But Dorothy, I also love, because we talk quite a bit about experiencing life in a horizontal way, which is on the material plane, and experiencing life in a vertical way, which is on the spiritual plane, which is the quality. How do we experience our lives? We have to be spiritual, you know, in our alignment and in sort of striving for higher vibrations, aspiring, this idea of verticality and spirituality, but of the horizontal plane of what do we touch? Who do we touch? How do we affect it? So I think it's interesting that science, again, is mimicking spirituality in this concept of there being a vertical and a horizontal that creates a unit or a whole that's spherical. How was that?
Well, that was very, very interesting. See, I'd like to share a couple of things that that it reminded me of. The first thing that that this discussion reminds me of is when I was in college, I had a math professor. He was Swiss. And one day he started reminiscing. And he was talking about how he had taken, as a graduate student, he had taken a math exam. And he'd gotten called in by the professor because he was a very good student, but he had missed one question. And And the professor was just curious why he had missed this question and why he had given such an odd answer. And the what happened was the my professor demonstrated, proved to his professor that his answer was actually correct, that the equation or whatever the problem was that had been presented had more than one answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than giving the obvious answer, he had given a different answer. It would be like he said 2 + 2 = 7. And then he proved that, in fact, in some instances that was true. That's not literally what it was, but it was that kind of thing. And I was thinking also about this quote that I found for us for this week, where the quote says, "People take the longest possible paths, digress to numerous dead ends, and make all kinds of mistakes. Then historians come along and write summaries of this messy, nonlinear process and make it appear like a simple, straight line."
Mm.
And that's what we tend to do in our memory, right, with ourselves. We forget the fact that that our experience is not linear, and then we try to tidy it up in memory so that it looks all neat. But our life is not linear. Our life is not deterministic. And what we do at one point in time doesn't have to shape what happens to us in the future.
Indeed, that there are all of these other influences that are constantly tincturing it, right, and changing it and making it new. And that is happening for every single person as well.
Well, it's not only that, but I think what's even more fundamental is if we take a deterministic perspective, then we absolve people of any responsibility for their actions, because how could they do anything different?
Yeah, and everything needs to be the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think and it's, you know, it's something that I need to apply to myself as well. If someone has a horrible traumatic experience in their childhood, I feel a lot of compassion for them. And if that experience is still shaping them when they're 10 years old, I feel a lot of compassion. And if it's still shaping them when they're 20, I feel a little bit less compassion. And if it's shaping them when they're 50, my thought is, why in the world haven't you dealt with this, right? You had an opportunity to make changes. And for myself, yes, I've had some experiences that have shaped me that have been very difficult. And they come up from time to time. But rather, what I need to do if I'm taking responsibility is, rather than saying, well, see, I couldn't do anything differently because this happened to me when I was a child, and so, you know, that's it. What I need to say is, oops, here it comes again, and that gives me a new opportunity to get a fresh perspective, to do some healing, to make sure that it doesn't constrain me in terms of the choices that I have in the present.
Yeah, like being on this track. This is the track that has been laid, and that's where the train is going. There's a quote that says, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. So mm-hmm. This idea of, as you say, perspective, of getting a perspective on the path that will then influence your forward momentum so that, you know, it creates new opportunities instead of just a rote way of approaching how the past has made you who you are. Dorothy, we're at our first break. So more on this subject of linearity when we return.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Being wrong or making mistakes is human. What have you learned from it? Start laughing about the silly things you did. Yeah, laugh about it. Being happy is more important than being always right. start listening to your feedback. Be willing to redefine yourself every day. Communication with yourself and others who already are successful in their lives. Stay balanced. And when you fall off the wagon, don't dwell on it. Just hop back on. Forgive yourself. Admit what you did. Move on and smile. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Hello, welcome back, listeners. On today's show, Dorothy and I are talking about the illusion of linearity and if we live by this illusion that life is deterministic, meaning it's always going to be the same, you know, one, two, three in a straight line, it becomes problematic. It actually is not the way that the world is set up. I have also heard a number of people, a friend of mine has it actually on his answering machine. Oh, back in the day, good, probably still doesn't have an answering machine. See, that's the past. But it used to say when you'd call him, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and to be in the now is a gift, which is why we call it the present, which I love that. And tomorrow being a mystery is what's so beautiful about it, you know, a sense of wonder that it is always new. And when we place limitations, when we say, no, tomorrow is going to be like this, your life is going to look like this, well, it doesn't leave for much creativity and it doesn't leave for much expansion or evolution, right?
Absolutely. And I'd like to just share that part of my father's life work when he was working in India was he was asked by the government to set up a graduate training program in vocational guidance and counseling. Now, this is in a culture where there was a very strong belief that the type of work that you were to do was determined by your caste or by your past life, you know, by karma, that kind of thing. And he really struggled. It was very, very difficult to do that work. And I know he left feeling that he hadn't gotten very, very far. And it was interesting to me that I went back maybe 20 years later, I was doing work in India, and people would approach me and talk about my father and the very critical, very seminal work that he had done. So it had taken some time to percolate through. But again, what I want to bring us back to is that if we believe that life is linear, then what comes right along with that is the idea that it is deterministic, that the past determines the present, that we do not have free will, and therefore we are absolved of responsibility for creating or co-creating our reality.
Well, and sometimes even we're limited from our ability to do that, you know, in your father's experience, which the now was not a gift at all, you know, and yesterday wasn't history because yesterday said your lineage is here and it will actually determine your tomorrow. It's not a mystery at all. We're going to tell you exactly what is available to you. And you know, what an experience, you know, what important work to break down those sort of cultural limitations for people.
Right. And we see this also still in the business world where we talk about 5-year plans or 10-year plans. Who in the world knows what's going to be happening?
I agree.
Now, I'm not saying that it's not good to put affirmations out there, to put, you know, concepts out there that we're working towards.
And creative vision. Yeah.
But if we just think about the world of work for a moment, there are kinds of work now that are available and rapidly growing, that like social media manager, that didn't exist 3 years ago. We didn't have that kind of social media. So who knows, and especially with robotics and artificial intelligence, there's a lot of technological change that's coming along. We have to learn to be able to view our experience as expansive and really understand what it means to be in a probabilistic universe rather than a deterministic universe.
That's really a beautiful way of looking at a 10-year plan. That it's most people think of that as being so, you know, you're doing such a good thing, you know, but really it's so limiting because, as you say, you're only projecting from the now what 10 years could look like unless your 10-year plan says, well, you know, my 10-year plan is who knows what it could look like. My 10-year plan is endless, and that would be the
That's
best
right.
plan.
So you can have a value structure, right, that you're using that. We've talked about the moral compass. You know, there are guiding principles that you want to work with, but you can't assume that the future is fixed. It's not.
Yeah.
And there's another area, Steve, I'd like to share with our listeners. We talked about it a little bit last year, but one of the other consequences of this illusion of linearity is where humans are in the overall structure of species. So we tend to think that, okay, so there's the mineral kingdom, the rocks, well, they're completely inert. Then there's the vegetable kingdom, you know, interesting, provides some food, but, you know, that's about it. Then there's the animal kingdom, you know, and they're, you know, untamed unless we have tamed them. And then there's us, and we're at the top, we're at the pinnacle. But in fact, that's not true at all. With plants, there's a lot of evidence that plants are intelligent. They are highly social. Their communication system is chemical, which is part of why we don't sense it. But there are a lot of ways in which they cooperate with each other, or they warn each other of danger, that kind of thing. And then you get into the animal kingdom. And there are a number of species that are highly intelligent, very social, very self-aware. You know, we think of the whales, the dolphins, the elephants, the great apes, and there are many other species, but those in particular that we treat as things, and we treat them as though they are to be used by us as opposed to co-creators of experience.
Yeah. Well, Dorothy, I've been reading Michael Pollan's, you know, How to Change The Mind. How to Change Your Mind is the name of it. And it's all about psilocybin and LSD mushrooms and mind-altering chemicals that free one to the spiritual realms. And what a fascinating book. But it talks so much about the intelligence of mushrooms and the intelligence of the plant kingdom, which certainly the Ageless Wisdom talks quite a bit about that kingdom being really have almost perfected their evolution, their process of evolution. But he talks about mushrooms as just this liberator of the earth and goes deep into scientific proof of the ways in which mushrooms actually hold the whole of the of all of the kingdoms together. And so many scientists and otherwise see mushrooms as this liberator, and that actually all of the work in the 50s that was done to freeing people with alcohol addiction with psilocybin, and just an interesting book, but once again goes back to saying it. We all think that, you know, oh yeah, there's a tree and there's a mushroom and there's a flower and a rose, but boy, their intelligence far supersedes that which we often give them credit for. And to think that this kingdom that we might perceive as below us actually could liberate us. You know, there are people in the book, he talks so much about people who think that this certain species is actually will be the liberator of all, you know, humanity. Very interesting stuff. So I would agree. We can't judge. We can't see it all as hierarchical, that the hierarchy is static, right?
That's right. That's right.
You know, earlier you were talking a bit about education and class system and your father going in and breaking that down. It made me think of No Child Left Behind and how that, you know, when we started to standardize and we started to make education very linear, meaning, you know, every student had to have these certain test scores, and that schools, you know, elementary schools and middle schools could get certain grants if their students scored a certain way on these tests, you know, got these scores. So every teacher was teaching for the test, right? Was basically what happened. You were teaching everybody the same in the same way. They were to perform in the same way, and their education became about the test score, you know, getting the test score all the same. And it just didn't work. There was no evidence that it had any effect on sort of broader learning and real goals of education, of critical thinking, or, you know, creating adaptable learners, or that more students would graduate high school and be ready for college. They actually were more unprepared because they just learned how to take a test. So just it reminds one of this way in which sometimes education is even dealt with in a way that you put all these students together and teach them the same way. I'm dyslexic, and my experience in middle school was horrifying to me because I had to read a book in a certain way. And back when I was in school, there was no audio books, and I just couldn't read. I couldn't see the pages in the same way somebody else did. And I would be asked to read linearly, read from left to right and see the words. I saw the words as shapes and symbols, and they moved all over the page. So for me to approach reading in a linear way was very difficult for my vision and for my brain. And I wanted to learn. I wanted to read the books. I wanted to understand the stories. I love the human story. It's what has inspired me to run Spirit Fire. The human story and its evolution is so important to me, and it was as a child, but I was limited because I had to learn and read in a certain way. And, you know, I almost failed. And it wasn't because I didn't fail a certain class of literature, you know, because I just couldn't read. So it's this idea that everything, we all should be operating in the same way, taught in the same way, produce the same thing. It just doesn't work. It's not reality, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we also, another thing that goes along with that is the idea that skills increase again in a linear fashion, you know, that you start out unskilled, and then you get a little bit more skilled, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And then finally, you're at a peak where you don't need to learn anything. Whereas, in fact, to be alive, we need to continue to learn and to experiment. And we have this concept, you know, when we talk about stages of learning, of unconscious incompetence, where people don't know what they don't know, and they, you know, they believe they know everything. And it's extremely difficult to try to help them learn at that point, because they see themselves as a failure in this linear model. You know, I mean, they're X number of years old, and so they shouldn't have to learn anything anymore. But in fact, they do.
Yeah.
And to learn, you have to make mistakes, and then that's embarrassing. And so that all of there are many, many ways in which we have linearity woven into our lives.
And so important to undo that. You know, so important. I love that idea of like creating these glass that it just doesn't work to create these glass ceilings for ourselves, in terms of learning and being open, you know, saying, well, okay, not supposed to be open anymore to the new. Dorothy, we're at another break. Listeners, we'll be right back after these messages.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you. Discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion, Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Practice living in wholeness with the Body Tune-Up. 6 classes for $89 designed for radical self-healing and self-regeneration. Heal the deepest root of any challenge. The mental body was programmed in negativity, not good enough. Separate from source, you're too much, you'll never make it. The emotional body holds all the pain and trauma of emotional suppression, all the pain from this life and life's past. The spiritual body is the place you connect with your higher power, your higher self, with the image and likeness of the One. The physical body houses and expresses the other three bodies every day. Go to CorneliaStephanie.com. Evolve, become a practitioner. We need to heal, integrate, and bring into wholeness and harmony the physical body, addressing all the other bodies in order to live in our true, authentic nature.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Welcome back, listeners, to Inspire Radio. I'd love to take a minute to tell you a bit about those of us and the organizations that are behind Spirit Fire Radio. So this is a co-creative, cooperative endeavor between Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies. Dorothy being with the School for Esoteric Studies and myself being with Spirit Fire. So just a couple of minutes to tell you a bit about those organizations. Dorothy, do you want to do that?
Sure. Sure. So the School for Esoteric Studies, you can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. We are an educational nonprofit, and we provide training for persons who have a spiritual practice that they want to deepen, whatever the shape of that spiritual practice has been. And we also provide a number of subjective initiatives that we do collectively. A lot of that is grounded in meditative and work and service work. And we also have a conscious initiative to reach out to other organizations in collaboration. This collaboration with Spiritfire is just wonderful. And if any of you in our listening audience belong to organizations that might want to collaborate with us, please take a look at our website, again, at esotericstudies.net.
Wonderful. And Spiritfire is also an educational nonprofit, and we are as well focused on meditation, study, and service. We have our own meditation practice, which is called the Practice of Living Awareness. It really endeavors to make spirituality practical, to educate people on the importance of consciousness in their everyday lives. And our meditation practice supports that. Important to take meditation off the cushion as well. We've got an online meditation practice that is in constant rotation, and it is free online. You can find out more about that at spiritfire.com. We also have online classes and a retreat center in Western Massachusetts, where we hold living awareness retreats and all kinds of wonderful retreats. Again, spiritfire.com to find out more about all of that. Dorothy, back to our discussion. And wonderful to hear about, as always, the School for Esoteric Studies. And again, listeners, great website. Both of us, great websites we've got going on. But so back to linearity, you know, I can't get this idea of karma out of my mind from you talking about class systems and how limiting that is to think that just entire swaths of the human experience is ruled by this idea of this predetermined experience of life on Earth. And it also makes me think of this idea of heaven and hell and its repercussions. Do this, you're going to heaven. Act this way, you're going to hell. This idea that really our experience is determined. We know that our experience is determined by our actions, but the outcome is very limited. You know, you can see why people live in a constant state of fear. I also think of epigenetics to say that, well, you know, these diseases run in my family, and I am going to get that disease as a result of my DNA. And we've just proven that everything is in flux, and that our DNA has got on and off switches. We've got 20,000 plus genes, all of them in different combinations of being turned on and off, makes so many possible sort of arrangements within our DNA that's constantly changing. So, you know, to think that this will happen because of this, this will happen because of my DNA, this will happen because of this mistake I made, and whether I learn from it or not doesn't matter unless somebody absolves me of that, I'm going to hell. It's all very limiting, right? And it creates fear.
Well, it's limiting, and it's very external to us, right? It's like we're controlled by our external environment rather than by our own choices, which is where our responsibility rests. You know, to me, Steve, when I think about, you know, conversations that people have about karma or payback or what's going to happen, to me, the critical thing is that I need to always be building my ethical muscle. And when I behave in a way that is compassionate, that is understanding, that is ethical, then I build in that habit pattern. And when I behave in a way that is demeaning of others or that is negative in some kind of way, then I build in that habit pattern. And the reality of our life is our experiences happen very rapidly. And a lot of times we need to respond immediately. We don't have a lot of time to just sit and think, am I going to act this way or am I going to act that way? And that's why the habit patterns that we build in are so critical, because those are the ones that come forward. And so if our habit pattern is that we are that we behave compassionately, that we behave that we act for the common good, then we are likely to experience the consequences of that. And if we behave in a way that is very uncaring and dismissive of others, then we're likely to experience the consequences of that. but it begins with our behavior.
Mm. Well, and also, Dorothy, our ability to observe our behavior, right? I mean, that is
right.
So key is to be, and so time is essential in that it creates markers, as I've said, you know, I think several times already, mm-hmm. you know, but it is our ability to stay in the moment and say, okay, I can make a different choice, or this choice is really supporting goodness and kindness, and I'm seeing that reflected back to me. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to develop that capacity to observe, which is really what at least the beginnings of a meditative practice are all about, is that observer mind and being able to see ourselves very clearly, to get to know our mind, to get to know our thoughts and the reality that's creating, because it's always changing. It's always it could always go a different way depending on those choices, right?
Well, and I think one of the reasons why we might cling to the illusion of linearity, even though we have, you know, or determinism, even though we have lots of evidence to the contrary, is that functioning in a probabilistic, nonlinear environment is more complex and it's more ambiguous because the outcome isn't certain. And so that ambiguity itself can generate a feeling of threat, a feeling of, you know, yep. that something negative could happen. And then we pull in and we try to constrain reality by fitting it into that box with edges.
Yeah, like safety, right? There's safety in the mm-hmm. familiar, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then again, limiting in our capacity to be creative. You know, some people would look at a blank canvas and go, ah, the potential, how exciting to put the first stroke on. And others would go, oh my gosh, how scary, right? Because mm-hmm. it's a very ambiguous moment of what will come, what will it look like? But we've got to be willing to trust and to, you know, realize that that's the beauty of life, that sense of the new and of wonder, a sense of wonder around it. Talking about last week, we talked about the MBSR program and some retreats we have at Spiritfire, where people are really, really always at all of our retreats, actually focusing on the beauty and the wonder that arises from that sort of ambiguity, you know, that our perception of it and our experience of it is always new and can always be new and always be fresh, because we are always new and we are always fresh.
Well, it brings to mind the whole concept of experimentation, you know, that which can feel risky, but that's where the creative edge is, right?
Yeah.
Or the creativity is in be willing to try out new things, to trust that we have that moral compass that will keep us from going far astray, but that we do experiment. And that's how we learn. That's how we grow.
We do this. We do this wonderful creative project often in our retreats here. We've got a really wonderful art barn, and we'll have everybody come down, and we have them set up with a little still life and three pieces of paper in front of them. And so many people right away go, "Oh, I have to be creative. I'm going to paint. Oh, forget about it." But we give everybody a different medium. We mix it up so you don't know what you're going to get: crayons or watercolor or gouache or pastel or pencils, and we sort of create it so that for everybody, it's going to look different, be different, and three pieces of paper, so that when you start drawing, you draw the still life that's in front of you. And as soon as you either hear your mind say, "Oh, I don't like this," or "Where is this going?" or "I might be done," you move to the next and draw the same thing. And you realize that as you approach it on each piece of paper, because it's a new now, you will see something different. You reminded me when you said that experimentation, you will experiment differently. You will create differently. And every time you feel you're done, or you sense, oh, there's a limitation here, or your mind says move to the next. And on each piece of paper, you paint the same still life. It's incredible to see how not only is each one totally different, but as you go back, you do 1, 2, 3, then 1, 2, 3, then 1, 2, 3. As you go back to number one, the way you saw it the first time will totally change because of the other two that you just painted. It's a really wonderful way to stay in the now and to sort of allow your mind to not create judgment there. We talked about judgment creating an edge and stopping time to just stay in the flow. It's really always a great experience to witness people as they become creative without they enjoy the ambiguity of the unknown of being creative. It's fun. Dorothy, I just talked us into another break.
Okay.
So we're going to go to a break and we'll be right back after these words.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com. Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Dorothy and I are delighted to be with you for our time together. And Dorothy, as always, we talk about time slowing down and speeding up. It seems to go so fast, one of these episodes. So much juicy material just makes it go so fast. So we're on the last segment. Any thoughts? How do we continue this conversation along a linear timeline, Dorothy?
Well, this radio show is a good example of how we do use time to coordinate, right? We can't,
yes.
We know when we need to be present for the show, although people can listen to it at many different times in many different ways. But I just wanted to comment, Steve, about what you were talking about with the art project. I think that's so creative, you know, to give people a way to experiment and to notice in a non-linear way how things can evolve. I think that's just really wonderful. I'd like to, before we run to the end of this program, I'd like to just talk a bit about the whole issue of disruption and the fact that when we think in a linear fashion, when we assume linearity, we assume cause and effect, it can leave us unprepared for the unexpected consequence, because we think that we will always know what the consequence is. Well, and I had mentioned before technological disruption, you know, that the technology can change things. And by the way, I saw an article the other week about how in the Netherlands, they are doing 3D printing of concrete homes.
Yes.
So they don't need the trades, right? They just do it all.
Well, fascinating. Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things that can be happening. But when we run into situations where there are commonly accepted norms that persons in power don't respect, then what's the strategy for coping with that? And I think at the risk of veering into the political for a few moments, I think this has been one of the problems with the Trump presidency, is that he does not respect norms. He does not respect this is my opinion. He does not respect the fact that when you have agreements with other countries, sometimes they'll make more and sometimes you'll make more, and it all evens out in the end. He doesn't respect the need for NATO. He doesn't respect the need for a common agreement with regard to climate change. He's the U.S. has pulled out of the United Nations Human Rights Council. He's talking about leaving the World Trade Organization. And then in terms of the way that he has dealt with issues at the southern border, assuming that persons who come legitimately for asylum are automatically criminals when there are international conventions, rights of the child that are being violated. But if you
also
have a president who doesn't respect those norms, then what do we do? It's a disruption that we're not prepared for.
Well, and I wanted to sort of say just right at the very beginning, when you said that word disruption, doesn't the fact that there can be disruptions just prove the fact that life is nonlinear, you know? And it seems that Trump, you know, that will be his trademark, is destruction and disruption, that what we had going smoothly along is just getting knocked right off the tracks. And it shows that we need to be ready, right? We need to be prepared, because life is always changing. So being prepared for the change is very important, and participating in the creation of the world you would like to see is so necessary, right?
Right. And you're seeing, and that's one of the things that you are seeing in the United States, is much more civic participation than there's been for a long time, of people trying to find other ways to influence what's happening.
And we've got to stay open to those possibilities. It's interesting. We have a retreat that is scheduled to go on here in August that is all Canadians. And, you know, because of the recent political environment, almost all of the participants have first said, I'm a little reluctant to cross the border. Like, I'm a little nervous. I don't know that I want to go. And in the end, they've said, actually, I don't even want to go. I don't even want to go to America. And wow, I had to write an email to the presenter and say, listen, do you realize that's more of the same? To basically say, we're here and I'm only going to support my own, meaning I'm not going to cross a border, that's actually the same vibration. You're actually supporting that vibration of isolation and separation when you should be supporting, you know, be open to supporting those who are trying to work with, you know, cooperation and creativity and collaboration. So it's just interesting how we have to even also watch how we respond to the new now, to disruption. You know, we've got to stay flexible.
Well, and on the other hand, you have activities going on that have not happened, at least in the history that I'm aware of. You have state troopers or ICE personnel stopping motorists and asking them to prove that they are citizens of the United States. You have a bus driver saying that somebody cannot ride on a bus unless they're a citizen of the United States. This does not create a welcoming environment, and it creates an environment that is so unusual that then the response is, well, I won't participate, right?
Yeah.
Which is what you're hearing from the Canadians on that.
Right. And so we've got to be aware of the implications of all of our choices, right? And of what that is putting out as a response. So Dorothy, we just have a couple minutes left, and just, you know, again, I appreciate this idea of disruption and sort of disrupting that which was disrupted to perhaps bring it back to a new norm, right? I mean, we've got to be flexible. We've got to be aware. We've got to participate. And it just drives home the need for this show. And the why I love doing this every week with you is that these principles are important. You know, we've got to understand that our choices have an impact. The way in which we participate creates not only our world, but the world of those around us. And we are inextricably connected, whether we like it or not. And we've just got, you know, we are connected even to those we don't love the way they would handle a situation. We've got to participate in that. We've got to be aware of what's going on and actively participate in creating the world we'd like to see. Final words, Dorothy. We have another minute left. I just
want to underscore with this whole idea of the impact of disruption is the need for us to be flexible, the need for us to experiment with different ways of approaching situations and not just making the assumption that because things have always happened in a certain sequence, that they will always happen in a certain sequence, because life is much more probabilistic than that rather than deterministic.
Absolutely. You've said it, I think, years ago. You said to me, you know, that it is not survival of the fittest, it is survival of the most adaptable. And I can never forget that. It is so true. So, Dorothy, we're at the end. Listeners, if you want to hear some archives or even listen to our last show on participation, we talked quite a bit about what you were just talking about, ways to be flexible and stay participatory, you know, in creating the new now. SpiritFireRadio.com, we've got archives on there, or at Transformation Talk Radio. Dorothy, it's been a delight. We're going to continue this conversation for the next few weeks on nonlinearity. I look forward to it.
Me too. It's been a pleasure.
Wonderful. Thanks, everyone, for joining in.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit SpiritFireRadio.com.